Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 to 5. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." A second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, which is the last chapter in Luke, verses 44 to 49. Luke 24, verse 44. Then he, that is Christ, said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding, that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high." Our third reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 to 20. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Now, text for this evening's sermon was Matthew 5, 17. "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Let us pray. That the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This evening's sermon is called Christ Through the Bible. It's by the Reverend David Waldron of Christchurch. The theme of this sermon is that the unfolding redemptive historical plan of God is revealed in the Old Testament scriptures in shadows, patterns, types, and symbols, which all point to Christ, who is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And this is the proposition: seeing the Christ-centered nature of all scripture helps us to better understand and also to live out the gospel and to be more equipped to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. The Bible contains a lot of words. Most English translations have around 1,100 chapters, over 31,000 verses, and over 800,000 words. There are many different themes and concepts in Scripture, yet some people think of the Old Testament, which is about 77% of the whole Bible, as being of limited value and importance when compared to the New. They see a few instructive stories there and some historical background, but beyond that, little of any significant value for the Christian today. As you can see, in some of the Old Testament laws in Deuteronomy, there are many things which were very different back then. For example, the details of the civil laws for the Old Testament Israel do not apply to us today. You can, if you really want, plow with an ox and a donkey together. Deuteronomy 22:10. So what did Jesus mean when he said during the Sermon on the Mount, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." He had come preaching the gospel of the kingdom, teaching in the Jewish synagogues and out in the open, where he was accessible to anyone who would come to hear him speak. See Matthew 4:23. When he referred to the law and to the prophets, he would have been well understood by his listeners as speaking about the whole Old Testament. These are the scriptures which his Jewish listeners, especially the scribes and the Pharisees, were familiar with. His righteous judgment against the Pharisees was not on their obedience to God's good law. He was opposed to their focus on outward appearance rather than inner attitude. For example, Matthew 23. The Old Testament law demanded a radical holiness, not merely a set of religious rituals performed by a person with a heart which did not love God. We see this in God's call to his people through Moses. "Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn." Deuteronomy 10:16. Jesus fulfills the Old Testament in many different ways. He is the one to whom all the ceremonies, symbols, and shadows in the first 39 books of the Bible point. He is the one about whom the Old Testament prophets spoke. He is the one who has completely obeyed the law of God. He is the one who reveals the meaning of the Bible more clearly than any prophet before him. Jesus Christ is found throughout the Bible. This is a truth which he confirmed. He said it is the scriptures that bear witness about me. John 5:39. He opened up the meaning of God's word to two men on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection, as Luke records. "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Luke 24:27. Seeing the Christ-centered nature of all scripture helps us to better understand and also to live out the gospel. It enables us to be more equipped to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We can open up the whole Bible to others as we glorify God by pointing out the many intricate connections that bind the Word of God together, and that all point to Christ as Lord and Savior. This afternoon, we're going to look at the topic of Belgic Confession, Article 25, Christ, the Fulfillment of the Law, under three headings this afternoon. 1, types and shadows. 2, promises and fulfillment. And 3, Christ and the gospel. Types and shadows. In English, the word type originally referred to an impression made with an instrument or object by striking it with something. That's where the word typewriter comes from. These now largely obsolete mechanical machines use thin metal arms with characters molded in metal called type bars that use an ink of a ribbon to impress each letter one by one on a piece of paper that's moved about by a carriage. We still speak about typing when writing a document on a computer, as was done in the preparation of this sermon, even though nothing is physically striking your screen. When the disciple Thomas doubted the resurrection of Christ, he declared, "Unless I see in my hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." John 20:25. The word mark here is the Greek word type, a pattern made by an object when pressed into another substance. The use of the word type or mark in Scripture is also broader than this. It's used figuratively of a pattern or a copy of something, either physical or conceptual, like a principle or a virtue. The Apostle Paul exhorted the Philippians to keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Philippians 3:17. He also wrote about Adam, who was a type of Christ. Romans 5:14. There is a method of interpreting different parts of the Old Testament scriptures, which is called typology, from the word type. Typology recognizes that there are patterns in scripture which are like Christ and his work, irrespective of whether the actual word type is used in the New Testament to identify them. Typology identifies spiritual correspondences between persons, events, and objects within God's unfolding plan of redemption as revealed in Scripture. For example, in the historical account of Abraham obeying God by preparing to sacrifice his son Isaac, there is a pattern which mirrors Christ. Isaac was the only much-loved son of Abraham. Isaac carried up the wood for the sacrifice as Jesus carried his own cross. Just as the ram caught in the thorn bush became a substitute for a man, so Jesus is the substitute sacrifice. The Protestant reformers recognize the value and significance of typology in the faithful interpretation of Scripture. This is reflected in Belgic Confession, Article 25. However, there is a danger with typology of taking a good thing too far. The result is then what is called the allegorical interpretation of Scripture. Here's an example from the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. So Matthew 25:1-13, which some of the early church fathers and others overinterpreted as they searched for hidden meaning buried under the texts of Scripture. In this parable, Clement of Alexandria thought the oil represented the father's compassion, Augustine that the oil represented joy, Chrysostom that the oil was the word of teaching. In the Middle Ages, the Venerable Bede said that the oil represented repentance. In the Reformation, Luther thought the oil was grace. How would you know which interpretation is correct? In contrast to typology, allegory lacks the controlling boundaries of Scripture. It does not take into account the context or the genre of a biblical passage. We have all seen shadows formed in the shape of an object or person upon which or whom a light is shining. In writing to the Colossians about Old Testament festivals and practices, Paul speaks of these shadows which point to Christ. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Colossians 2:17. The Old Testament blood sacrifices were types or shadows of Christ, who is the ultimate and only effective sacrifice offering for sin. as the writer to the Hebrews notes, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Hebrews 10:4. Excuse me. The law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities. Hebrews 10:1. Guido de Bray wrote in Belgic Confession Article 25 that the use of them, ceremonies, shadows and symbols, ought to be abolished among Christians. While we have liberty to enact Old Testament ceremonies like the Passover, we must not do so with an understanding that these are part of our worship today. To do so would be to deny that all the Old Testament types and shadows have been completely fulfilled in Christ. Which brings us to our second point. Promises and fulfillment. Careful investigation of the natural world reveals both the interconnectedness of the internal biological systems within plants, birds, insects, animals, and people, and also the complex relationships between different organisms within the biosphere on this planet. The wise student of creation exclaims with the angels, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Isaiah 6:3. Whereas the fool says, "I can see nature's design," while denying the existence of its designer. Psalm 14:1. Just as the physical world bears testimony to the eternal nature and divine power of God, Romans 1:20, so the word of God bears testimony to the power and grace of God as his plan of redemption unfolds through time. Tracing the multitude of these threads uncovers some of the complexity, wonder, and beauty of the tapestry of the Bible. Underpinning the many connections from types, shadows, signs, and symbols to Christ is the biblical pattern of promise and fulfillment. As we see the many promises of God fulfilled in Christ, we can gain greater confidence in the comforting truth that he who has begun a good work will certainly bring it to completion. Philippians 1:6. There is a great spiritual benefit in reading and understanding the Old Testament as we look forward to the future in Christ. The Apostle Paul puts it in this way, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope." Romans 15:4. The word fulfill in Matthew 5:17 means to make come true, to fill, to bring to completion. He is the substance that all the shadows foreshadow. He is the reality that all the signs and symbols point to. Jesus is the antitype of all the types in the Old Testament. Biblical scholars call the fulfillment of a type the antitype. For example, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." John 3:14. The serpent on the pole was the type. Christ is the antitype who fulfills the promise of the one who would bring healing for God's people. The Passover lamb in Exodus 12 is a type of Christ in Corinthians 5:7. The unblemished lamb is the type whose blood was seen by the Lord, who then passed over the houses of the Israelites, so that their firstborn, representative of all, would not die. Christ is the antitype who fulfills God's promise to rescue his people by conquering Satan. Genesis 3:15. The rock from which Israel drank in the wilderness in Exodus 17:6 is the type. Christ is the antitype, the spirit spiritual rock who is the deliverer of God's people, fulfilling the promise of God to rescue his people, not from slavery in Egypt, but the bondage to which this captivity pointed to, that of sin and death. The promises of God are many and varied, and they have all either already been fulfilled or have not yet found ultimate and complete fulfillment in Christ. This truth is revealed by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter Amen to God for his glory. When looking for the promises of God, we do need to be careful not to misinterpret Scripture. All the promises of Scripture, both general and personal, find their fulfillment in Christ. For example, in Christ, God promises to give us wisdom if we ask, James 1:5. In Christ, God promises to provide a way out of temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13. In Christ, he promises that our salvation is secure, no matter what, John 10:28-29. All the promises of Scripture are fulfilled in Christ, who is the center and substance of the gospel. Which brings us to our third point, Christ and the gospel. Guido de Bray wrote in the Belgic Confession that the testimonies taken from the law and the prophets are used to confirm us in the doctrine of the gospel. When we understand that the Bible is not fundamentally a book which is centered around mankind, but is first and foremost Christocentric, Christ is at the core of Scripture. So it's not helpful to see the Bible firstly as a book of do's and don'ts, but to see the whole of Scripture in the light of Christ. The laws in the Bible are not, and never were, the way for the descendants of Adam to be saved. As Paul explains to the Galatians 3:24, so then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. The Old Testament law is usually divided into three parts. First, the moral law, as summarized in the Ten Commandments, which provided for discipline and order in the Israelites' personal life and relationship to God and neighbor. These commandments still function to provide order in our lives, to teach us of our sin and our need for Jesus Christ, and to provide the rule for thankful living before our God so that we may walk as his people. Jesus, the beloved Son, in whom God the Father was well pleased, completely fulfilled the moral law. Secondly, the civil law was established for Israel as a nation. Israel was a theocracy. She was ruled by God, who provided for Israel a way to regulate her society in keeping with his holiness. Many of these civil laws were presented as case laws. In such and such a case, such and such is to happen. And though these laws do not function specifically any longer, they still provide lasting moral principles and values for modern nations. Jesus, in his humanity on this earth, was a citizen living in an occupied land under Roman civil law. He always obeyed the governing authorities, when doing so did not conflict with God's law. Pontius Pilate justly declared, "I find no guilt in him," John 19:6. Jesus obeyed the civil law, rendering to Caesar the things that were Caesar's. Thirdly, the ceremonial law regulated the rituals of worship and the priesthood, many of which are found in the book of Leviticus. These laws include the sacrifices, the proper creation and handling of the holy things in the tabernacle and temple, including the tabernacle and temple themselves. the rites of purification, and the function of the priests. As we've already seen, these ceremonies, types, and shadows all pointed to the coming once and for all sacrifice that Jesus Christ would make on behalf of the people on the cross. Jesus fulfilled all the ceremonial law. Grasping clearly that all the laws in the Bible are not duties to be performed to gain favor with God, but are the rightful response of self-aware, sinful people to the great grace of God in Christ, liberates the troubled soul from the defeating drudgery of just trying harder. In preaching the gospel of grace, preachers must be careful not to present a message of shadow and type, that is, of Old Testament laws and patterns without grace. The Old Testament is a rich treasure of gospel truth, but only when the connections are rightly made and are presented so that the light of Christ may be seen. He is the one whose brilliant glory, we could say, casts the shadows back into redemptive history. In witnessing to others, we must be careful not to present the Bible simply as a rule book to be obeyed for a better life. If you are studying, reading, or sharing a passage of Scripture, look for the connections to Christ. In the New Testament, these are generally not hard to find. In the Old Testament, it usually requires some more work because these links are found in the shadows and types, not in the substance of Christ in the Gospel. It is also necessary to consider sufficiently large portions of Scripture so that at least one type or shadow can be found and the promises of God, which they represent, can be shown to have been already or not yet fulfilled in Christ. Jesus came not to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. The evidence for this reality is throughout the whole Bible. All of Scripture bears witness to him. When you yourself bear witness to Christ, be sure to show others some of the many threads which link the shadows and types to Christ, and in doing so, illuminate the gospel and give glory to God. Amen. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant us that we may in such a way hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.